News Talk 1360, WCHL, and UNC Family Medicine present Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page. Your Health, providing practical health-related news and information for our listeners. Dr. Goldstein and Dr. Page are both actively involved in patient care at UNC Family Medicine. Now, Your Health.
Welcome to UNC Family Medicine's Your Health, supported by UNC Healthcare. I'm Dr. Adam Goldstein.
And I'm Dr. Christy Page.
And on our show today, we will be talking with rock and roll doctors. Yes, you heard it. Rock and roll doctors, John Bogus and Dr. John Soper from the UNC Cancer Surgeons, who are using music to raise awareness about women's cancer issues. I am really looking forward to this, Christy.
I am too. But first, we're going to get into some topics on research that matters that really hit home. And one of them is about tanning beds.
Well, and we know that this is a risk factor for skin cancer. And there's been a lot of increased emphasis on making it more restrictive and more difficult for people to perhaps get tans on those sorts of mechanisms.
And so this is research in the Archives of Dermatology looking to see a link between people who use tanning beds and addiction to the behavior.
Addiction to tanning.
Addicted to tanning. Not to love, but to tanning.
I was dubious about this. So let's just say what they saw is that they among 230 people who had used indoor tanning facilities in the past year, 40% met the criteria for at least one measure of addiction, and another 30% met other criteria. So they looked at some of the criteria of how addiction in other behaviors and thought that maybe it applies to these people who are getting frequent tanning.
Sure. And in the study, they found that the people who do this know that it's bad for them, and that it's not so much about how they look, but it has something to do with the relaxation or to improve their mood or to socialize that becomes a thing that draws them to do it. And that some of them wake up in the morning and think about how they need to go to the tanning bed.
Well, and I tell you, I was skeptical when I first saw this, Christy, but reading it and looking at the study, it makes me realize that, you know, it's not just about education. We can educate all we want, but if people already know it and they're continuing to do it despite the adverse consequences, maybe as providers, we need to understand a slightly different model for some people and what we can do to help them maybe break this habit or addiction.
And maybe it's more than us just saying, hey, that's bad for you, but we really need to understand why they're doing it. And this research would suggest it's more complicated than just, I want to get a tan.
Yeah, I think it's important work and one that we actually should not belittle.
So
let's talk about our next research that matters then.
Our next one is about screening for lung cancer and whether or not that causes any harm.
Well, and this came in the Annals of Internal Medicine, and research that came out a couple years ago, which was not very good, and it was funded indirectly by the tobacco industry, indicated that perhaps if we did CAT scans on people very early, chest X-rays, and maybe then CAT scans, we could prevent or diagnose it early enough that we could treat it. And so a lot of doctors are now doing these things. But the evidence is not in that it actually works. So what do we find in this study?
Well, this is a study that was done through the National Institutes of Health, where they followed 3,200 smokers and former smokers and randomly assigned them to either get the screening or not. And they found that by getting the chest X-rays or a CAT scan, there were much higher chances of having what we call false positives, or things that look like they could be cancer that don't turn out to be.
Yeah, a suspicious lesion that turned out not to be cancer. After one CAT scan, almost one in five had something like that. And after two CAT scans, one out of three. And I've seen this in my practice where people come into the hospital. They get a chest X-ray, and there's a little shadow, and then they get a CAT scan, and there's a little nodule, and then they have it all worked up, and it's a false negative. And here's the problem, Christy. If we start down this pathway, it's a cascade, it's hard to stop.
Yeah, and I mean, we have no evidence at this point that it helps make a difference or save lives, but yet it adds radiation, it adds worry, it adds unnecessary procedures, and certainly cost.
Well, and we're going to need to, and I think for our listeners out there who are smokers or who have loved ones who are smokers, recognize the only real treatment right now is quitting, and that these tests are at most false reassurance, but even more importantly, there's these false positives that have to be worked up, and people don't think about them.
Yep. Okay. Our next one is about pets. Now, we've talked before about pets being good for your health, but this one's about tripping over pets causing harm.
Well, and having had a dog for most of my adult life, I think all of us who've had animals know that, you know, you're walking, you get up in the middle of the night, and you accidentally step on the dog, and all of a sudden, you know, you fall because you're trying to avoid, or you trip, you don't see. This is a big problem. We laugh about it, but it's a big problem.
It is a big problem, bigger than I realized.
Not just for the dogs and animals, but for us.
Yeah. So this was a CDC report that was
Centers for Disease Control,
published in the Journal of Safety Research, looking at 87,000 people who are estimated to go to emergency rooms every year due to some sort of fall or accident related to dogs and cats.
And I bet many of you, like myself, never really thought about this, of how much it is, and that dogs are more dangerous than cats 7.5 more times, and women are 2.5 more times more likely to be injured than men.
But the thing that really matters to me are the ones for people who are age 75 and older, that are more likely to have real injuries like fractures, breaking bones, due to tripping over pets and the dangers of being unstable with a pet around.
Yeah, and even the ones that I've seen that I've really thought about are people who are walking their dogs and the dog runs and pulls them and they trip and fall. And I think this really just emphasizes that we need to, again, put in our injury arsenal, our injury prevention, pets.
Yeah, well, and pets are important. It's not to say don't have a pet, but you need to think about safety when you're walking your dog, and safety around the house if small animals are running around.
Yeah, well, let's talk about our last research that matters, Christy. And it's one that really drives home. We've talked about it, and there's some more research that we wanted to bring it to you, and that's about strokes and getting in early for treatment if there have any symptoms or signs.
So as you know from our previous radio show, when you have symptoms of a stroke, we want you to come to the hospital urgently, because if you get there before 3 or 4 hours, we may be able to give a medicine that could save your life.
And it turns out that some people who are more likely to have a stroke, some people who are at higher risk, perhaps people with worse health, are the ones that perhaps are least likely to know the early signs and symptoms. And so this position paper that's in the journal Stroke of the Journal of the American Heart Association really emphasizes really immediate campaigns that can get message out to those people who have the highest risk.
And because what they found was that about 70%, that's 70% of patients who suffer from a minor stroke or one of those TIAs or transient ischemic attacks do not recognize those symptoms, and 30% don't go to the doctor for more than 24 hours. And that's concerning. People really don't get the medical care that they need.
Yeah, it reminds me, Christy, I had a friend of mine a couple years ago who's a very bright, educated, very successful business person, called me on the phone saying, you know, they woke up that morning and their spouse was acting differently and they wanted to know what they should do about it. And when they started talking, I realized their spouse could easily be having a stroke. And, you know, getting out of bed and then getting back in bed after an hour and a half and not talking normally. And that patient ended up getting immediately to the emergency room and was having a stroke, got the blood thinner to break up, and it completely reversed. But, what if I hadn't been there? What if I hadn't answered the phone? You know,
could have been catastrophic.
You would like to think that we could just know and get the treatments that we can get early.
So if you or your loved one is having a sudden episode of slurred speech or weakness or change in the way they're thinking, don't wait. Just go on to the doctor.
Well, Christy, I think we should probably wrap up our research that matters. But in addition to the stroke treatment, we've talked about lung cancer screening and the false positives if you're going to get those tests.
We've talked a bit about pets and some potential dangers of tripping over pets causing injuries.
And we've talked about that for some people, indoor tanning really well may be addictive.
So that concludes the Research That Matters portion of our show. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll be talking with Drs. John Bogus and John Soper, two UNC cancer surgeons who are part of a rock and roll band dedicated to raising awareness about women's cancer issues. You're listening to UNC Family Medicine's Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page.
Yeah. Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page on News Talk 1360 WCHL, sponsored by UNC Family Medicine. And now, more of Your Health.
Welcome back to UNC Family Medicine's Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page. Today on Conversations, we'll be talking about rock and roll doctors, how UNC cancer surgeons are using music to raise awareness about women's cancer issues. And I know you may not have heard this correctly, but Christy and I actually are really interested in the link between various healing arts and really their healing potential. And we were really intrigued and so glad to know that we have some expertise and something really innovative occurring right in our backyard here in Chapel Hill.
And this is a great story of doctors, local doctors, making a difference through music. So we'd like to welcome Dr. John Soper. Dr. Soper is the Hendricks Professor of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the UNC School of Medicine. Dr. Soper is recognized for his work in gestational trophoblastic disease and pelvic reconstructive surgery. He graduated from the University of Iowa College of Medicine, and we're glad to have him now as a Tar Heel. Thank you for being with us, Dr. Soper.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know, one of the things that is just fascinating is just the story of, I know so many doctors who are musicians, but that you and your colleagues have really taken this from playing at parties to being a real band or the real producer and doing remarkable things. Tell us a little bit about your story and how you got together as a band.
Well, we're a group composed of six GYN oncologists from across the country. Two of us are at UNC, two in New York City, one in Portland, Oregon, and one currently in Amarillo. And hopefully he'll be moving to New Orleans soon because that's more fun to visit perhaps than Amarillo. We were recruited initially to be a gag band at a medical meeting, and it played covers convincingly enough that people enjoyed themselves. And after the second time we were asked back, we thought maybe we could do something more with our music than just cover rock and roll songs that everybody knew.
Well, you know, you've created this band called NED, No Evidence of Disease. Tell us, first off, how did that name come about? NED has a certain catchiness to it, kind of like REM or something, you know. But how did the name come about, and when did this aha moment go off that you've got something more than the average Joe Band sort of gig?
Well, we struggled with names for a long time. For a while, some of us, or at least one of us, proposed that we be called the GOBOBS, or Gynecologic Oncology Band of Brothers and Sisters. But that didn't quite stick. And as you know, physicians often use initials for phrases, and NED is something that we use all the time, no evidence of disease. You examine a patient who's had cancer, been treated for cancer, check out their scans and their blood work. There's no evidence of disease. It's the best phrase I can say to a patient, and we abbreviate that NED, and we kind of thought there was a lot of pathology in our group, but no evidence of disease.
And I mean, it is such a catchy name and meaningful that it's something positive you can say to people, which really goes along with a real positive nature of your music.
Well, and we thought that, you know, we had a group of people who played together well. We learned that in kindergarten maybe. And enjoyed making music together. We'd learned how to collaborate long distance. All of us have had experience in different types of bands since high school for most of us, or played open mics at the very least. And we thought that we might be a vehicle so that we could raise awareness for women's cancers, women's reproductive cancers. And that's not to take away from breast cancer, but women's reproductive cancers, uterine, ovarian, cervical, vaginal, and vulvar cancers, account for approximately 80,000 plus women per year. If you add in the precancers, at least another 100,000. Well, all of a sudden, you're talking about the same ballpark number of women who are affected annually with our malignancies as compared with breast cancers, and yet no one talks about these cancers. So we thought at the very least we could make a noise for GYN malignancies.
You know, we're talking with Dr. John Soper of the UNC School of Medicine and a member of the band NED, No Evidence of Disease. You know, Dr. Soper, I'm glad you really point out the really the serious underlying nature of the sort of thing that you're bringing forward, because just in the last year alone, in my smaller patient population, acquaintance of friends, I have three colleagues, patients, friends that have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And it's one of these things that, I do think is it doesn't get as much attention, as much of recognition, and yet it's something that has impacted my life as much as many other sorts of cancers. And I wonder, you know, what's the transition, though, between using being a cancer surgeon and going in there and dealing with it from the purely medical model to then using the healing art of music and really trying to combine those two? Was this just a natural because you're a musician, or was there something much more to it for yourself as a cancer surgeon?
Well, I think that all of us have found in our own lives that music is a healing, is something that we do to heal ourselves. And in fact, the lyrics of one of our tunes, Rhythm Heals, is actually about the effects of making the music on the band members.
Really? Wow. Let's take a listen, actually, if we could. We're going to take a short listen to that particular song.
And then Rhythm Heals.
We're going to come back and talk about that because I want to pick up on this.
Thank you for sharing that with us. That was Rhythm Heals, and that lead singer is Joni Hope. Fantastic alto. Tell me a bit about that, the meaning of that song. It feels healing just listening to it.
Well, it was a song that the lyrics were written by Joni, and all of us collaborated on the music. And it's really talking about our experience coming together, realizing that we could make music together, the meaning of music in our lives. And I think that many of us have had circumstances where things weren't going perfectly in our lives, and music was a crutch, was a support, was something that we found that gave us positive energy. And the fact that then we banded together and were able to produce, to make music that had a positive impact on ourselves as well as hopefully on those who listen to it.
Well, I know that we're going to listen to a couple more songs after the break and really want to talk about that interplay, but there is a large body, a growing body of research looking at how music can be therapeutic, and you've mentioned it here for physicians, and I'm sure I could listen to these songs. I'm like, wow, this helps me, but also patients with pain and anxiety and depression.
Chronic illnesses, patients in who are cancer patients receiving chemotherapy and other interventions have diminished anxiety when exposed to music. Better coping skills, some evidence that it may improve quality of life. Hospice patients also have similar outcomes in trials that have looked.
What about
at
your
that.
Patients that have heard some of your music? What's that like?
It's very interesting. I've had patients who are in their 70s to tell me that they love the album, and I wouldn't have perhaps predicted it. And others who've told me that their teenage kids enjoy the album also. So I think it's definitely a body of work that is able to be more than just a gimmick for publicizing our types of cancers.
Well, we do need to take a short break, and we'll listen to some more of your music during the break. But when we return, we'll continue talking with our guest, Dr. John Soper, about his band NED, No Evidence of Disease. We'll be right back with UNC Family Medicine's Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page. Stay with us. Your Health is supported by UNC Health Sciences Library and NC Health Info, working together to connect people everywhere with knowledge to improve health. Visit nchealthinfo.org for answers you can trust.
Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page on WCHL. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back. You're listening to UNC Family Medicine's Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page. We've been talking with UNC cancer surgeon Dr. John Soper about his band NED, No Evidence for Disease. And I know, Dr. Soper, you work very closely with your partner, Dr. John Bogus at UNC, who's also in the band as well, and he's tied up in surgery today. But I understand he is one of the co-writers of some of the songs on your CD as well.
Yes, Dr. Bogus is a good friend of mine. He is a well-known robotic surgeon and has really led the charge in robotic surgery and gynecologic malignancies. And unfortunately, that's where he is this afternoon. He also is a very talented writer and writer of lyrics and is fun to work with in the context of this band.
Well, there's a song that I think he wrote on the CD. The song is called She Sings to Me, and I understand it's inspired by the loss of his sister. And I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about that song, because listening to it, and we're going to listen to it in just a second, it appears to me that it really is this cathartic experience that many people could experience with the loss. I lost a brother-in-law at a young age, and that many people have loss and the ability to celebrate someone's life versus be preoccupied with their loss.
And I think that's the theme running through the song, and it was triggered by coming across some tapes that had been made and allowing him to experience that. And I think that those of us who have lost someone in our life have come across something, a belonging, a jacket, whatever, and you've been able to bring back the experience of that person, and it doesn't matter how that person was lost in your life. And again, we tried to write songs that have lyrics that generalize to things other than just gynecologic cancers.
Let's take a listen to that song, and then we'll come right back. Let's
great.
Take a quick listen.
This is She Sings to Me.
Echoing my constant companion.
That was She Sings to Me, really the power of the ballad. I like that part of melody makes me sing and dream. I'm just reflecting on that loss and of a loved one. Thank
Very
you for sharing that with us.
Part of the song.
You know, one of the things that I really like about your music is that it is music. You're telling stories, but there's something really powerful. And there's lots of genres on the CD, and hopefully by listening to them today, I mean, I hear, you know, NED reminds you of rock, but to me there's a lot of country in your music. There's some spiritual African-American traditional kinds of tunes. Tell us a little bit about the merging and the making of music.
Well, we have six individuals who contribute, and we all come from slightly different musical backgrounds. I spent a lot of time in folk rock and country rock in college and played in a bluegrass band in Chapel Hill, actually, in the 80s. And others have come from much more straight-ahead rock and roll. Our drummer plays in a Beatles cover band around New York City. So we have all of these different things that we can bring to the plate. And we collaborate to try to figure out the pieces that each of us can play and the strengths that we can bring to each song. And at times it sounds almost schizophrenic, but I think that we're coming around to much more of a unified band sound as we've experienced concerts together and played together much more than when we put out the CD.
And I understand you play the guitar, but you also play the mandolin.
Yeah, that's not usually an instrument that one hears in a rock and roll context, but yes, I do.
And it's that another ballad, Waiting, I believe it's called, that really showcases your abilities on the mandolin.
Well, Waiting on Time was a song that I originally conceived of in a very kind of dark, dirgy, Richard Thompson-style folk ballad that was quite a bit slower than the original. I kind of pitched it to John Bogus and over at his house, and he played around with the words and altered them quite drastically from the original, which was based on someone and his wife sitting in a medical clinic waiting on, I don't know what, the results of a test, waiting on being told news, and it was just suspended waiting. And he took the lyrics and the feeling. We decided to speed up the tempo and turned it into a much more affirmative statement about someone nearing the end of their life and waiting on time in a station to be reunited with someone from his past.
Wow, let's take a listen to this, and because I think the transcendent nature of it is really striking.
Waiting on time at the station, the whistle blows. My eyes are fixed upon the door. 82 years since this journey first began. 82 years since I was born. And as I fumble with a ticket in my hand, you cast a shadow from the door. Such radiant beauty, softly soothing, and I am suddenly transported to a time when we first lay together, a different year, a different place. We knew we'd always be together, you and I.
You know, the words in there, an 82-year-old woman, Dr. Soper, softly soothing, I am suddenly transported to a time where we first laid together. What words, what powerful words that bring back in all of us, certainly me listening, this vision of what my life journey has been, but you know, while there's a certain little bit of sadness, it's also incredibly uplifting.
Yeah, it's ends up being a very positive song that affirms the journey that we all take through this life.
Wow. We're talking with Dr. John Soper from the UNC School of Medicine, a surgical oncologist who is with the band NED, No Evidence of Disease. And you guys have released your first CD. And how? Tell us a little bit about that and its reception and where people can obviously get a copy.
Well, the CD's come out. It's had some very favorable reviews. Unfortunately, it was released the same week that the Beatles released their stuff. So it was
a little competition.
We have been selling it and our marketing model is wrong because we are actually selling it for a donation of $10 that goes to the Gynecologic Cancer Foundation. And the
You mean you're not really going after the profits
no.
for yourselves?
But that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, this goes to the NED fund currently at the Gynecologic Cancer Foundation. Their website, it can be purchased through their website. It was released by Motema Music in New York City. They've got a website that it's
so people should buy 10 of these and give them out to their friends.
They're great stocking stuffers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. And what's next for the band?
This summer we've put together about 16 new tunes.
Fantastic.
And we're culling them down to about a dozen that we're going to try and record and put out a full-length CD in probably a year from now.
Great. Well, we really appreciate you sharing with us today and for what you're doing to raise cancer awareness in a really unique way.
And we hope that when the next CD comes out, maybe you and Dr. Bogus will come on our show and share some more songs. It's wonderful.
Well, we do play concerts to raise money, and we had a couple in Chapel Hill this spring and probably next year, and so maybe we can time it around that.
That would be great.
Well, we've been talking with Dr. John Soper of UNC Obstetrics and Gynecology about their band No Evidence of Disease. Thank you so much for being our guest today. We're going to need to take a short break. Coming up on House Calls, we'll be answering questions about your health. You're listening to UNC Family Medicine's Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page.
Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page on News Talk 1360 WCHL, sponsored by UNC Family Medicine. And now, more of Your Health.
Welcome back to UNC Family Medicine's Your Health. For the House Call segment of our show today, we'll spend a few minutes talking about your health questions and your experiences and attitudes.
And we want you to write us about your experiences and your questions, perhaps some of the things you've heard on this show, listening to the music that you just heard and the rock and roll doctors and issues relating to cancer. Write us and we'll address those on an upcoming show. We'll give you our thoughts and opinions. You can send them to yourhealth@unc.edu. And we'd like to ask our producer, Julie Steiner, to tell us what are some of the House Call questions we have today, Julie.
Our first listener writes, I'm 47 years old, and I've noticed a change in the caliber and frequency of my stools. This has been going on for years on and off, but it's really starting to worry me. Other than having two or three loose stools per day, I really don't have any other symptoms. Should I be worried?
Well, are you worried?
It sounds like you are worried.
Yeah, it sounds like you are. And so, you know, I don't think Christy and I would ever say, should someone worry? But, you know, I mean, you're worried, so we take it seriously.
Yeah, and I think when you are worried and if it's persisting and on your mind, then you should definitely talk to your doctor about it. So it's a good start.
And that may be the question that you're really asking.
Yeah.
Should I go see my doctor?
Should I bring this up?
Yeah, and yes, the answer is probably yes.
Yeah, I would say yes. The fact that it's been going on for so many years is reassuring in some ways, but it really needs some evaluation of someone to sit down with you and talk about the full history of this, anything else that's going on, your family history. Do you have a family history of colon cancer? Cancer or other problems in with chronic diarrhea or that sort of thing?
Well, and it sounds like, you know, even though you're 47, you are worried about colon cancer. It's unlikely that because of this. But, you know, two or three loose stools a day isn't completely normal. it sounds like we would think about something like irritable bowel disease, IBS. But, you know, there's lots of things. It's a conversation with your primary provider that you really do need to have.
And I think, you know, at age 50, we would recommend you have a colonoscopy for colon cancer screening. So it wouldn't be unheard of to talk to your doctor about whether or not you should consider having that done a little bit earlier than 50. But that's a conversation you should have with your doctor.
We could worry you about lots of medical diagnoses that could be really serious. Probably not. But we do want to encourage you to really get it looked at.
Yep. Okay, Julie, what do we have next?
I am 65 years old, and I'm starting to pay attention to what I've heard about being active. I've never been a very sporty person, although I do like to garden and be outside. I want to start being more physically active, but I'm afraid I'll get hurt. How do I get started?
Well, first of all, congratulations for making the first big step, which is being interested in being active and wanting to make a plan.
And a lot of people, when they do start to be physically active, they will get hurt or have some injuries because, you know, you're using muscles that you haven't used for a long time. But the reality is, if you don't start physical activity, you're probably going to get hurt too. But it'll be more kind of over a longer period and much more serious.
That's true. So, I mean, we would say, yes, become active. But you want to start slow and sort of work your way up from there. So you could start with something low impact like walking or swimming. Something that you like to do is I encourage people to find something that you like to do so it's less of a chore and more fun for you.
Yeah, I mean, gardening itself, there are ways of having it more physically demanding. But, you know, and you do gardening, and so you can incorporate some things that you like more into that. Getting started, you know, it's an interesting question. You're 65. You know, if you had any risk factors for heart disease that we don't know about, some people, as they get started, will want some reassurance. And then maybe before, if you've never been physically active, to even consider talking with your doctor about whether or not you need or should have a stress test, a cardiac stress test. We wouldn't recommend that for everyone. But it could be indicated for some people.
So good for you for getting started. And I think the biggest thing is to encourage you to continue on your journey and go ahead and get started.
Yep. And make sure that in addition to being physically active, that there's also muscle stretching and a warm-up period and a cool-down period.
Keeping up with your fluids.
All the physical therapists that I know of will talk about this, the importance aspect of starting and stopping the exercise appropriately.
Okay, Julie, what's next?
My allergies are bothering me. I used to take Zyrtec and Flonase, which helped pretty well, but now that Zyrtec is over the counter, it's harder for me to pay for it. But just on Flonase, I'm still left with watery eyes, sneezing, and a drip in my throat. Is there a cheaper alternative to over-the-counter Zyrtec?
Well, yes and no. Most insurances won't pay for Zyrtec anymore because it is over-the-counter. But when you go to the pharmacy, you can get brand-name Zyrtec, or you can get the generic cetirizine, which is the same medicine that's a little bit cheaper. And so just between the brand name and the generic, you can save some money there.
And, you know, there's lots of ways of understanding your question. One has to do with the cost. Another has to do with what you're taking and how often you're taking it. Some people don't use the Flonase regularly. They take it only as they think as needed, and it doesn't work that way. There are prescription eye drops that one can take with an antihistamine in them. There might be things that we should be looking at in terms of your diet or your environment of preventing. You know, are you exposed to lots of dust mites? So there's really lots of issues going on here, and I think I would encourage Christy for our listener here, writer, to see their doctor and actually have a much longer conversation than we could have today.
Well, and also, if you try Benadryl at night or over-the-counter diphenhydramine, which is the same thing as Benadryl, 100 tablets of that are only $13. It could last you, you know, several months, whereas the cetirizine or the Zyrtec can cost $100 for that period of time, which is, you know, about $1 a day. So the cost can add up. It's worth at least trying some of those shorter-acting ones. They may make you sleepy, probably will, but may make a difference for you for a lower cost.
Yep. And so you hear a little bit ranging from prevention to treatment to maybe even some alternative things like neti pots. But on that for another day. Julie, what's our very last house call?
I have a question that I'm too embarrassed to ask my doctor. I have diabetes, and my doctor periodically asks to look at my feet related to my diabetes. I do know that people with really bad diabetes can lose their legs if it's really bad, but I must admit, I'm not really sure what my doctor is looking for on my feet. Can you explain?
Well, thank you for asking us the question.
I don't know if we can say what other doctors are looking for, but we can say what we look for.
Sure. Well, related to your diabetes, having high blood glucose or having diabetes can cause damage to your nerves, something we call neuropathy or diabetic neuropathy, where you can't feel your feet as well as you should.
And one thing I always look for is, you know, how you take care of your own feet. So when you take your socks off, do your feet really smell? Are they really moist? Are they really rough and calloused?
But the biggest thing related to your diabetes that we're looking for, do you have any wounds on your feet or any breakdown in the skin that could become wounds? Because those can be harder to heal when you have diabetes. And we want to treat those early. And it also gives us a chance to talk to you about taking care of your feet.
And if you've got these really wet, moist feet, it's going to lead to a fungal infection, which is going to lead to, exactly as Christy's talking about, infection. And if you have these calluses on your feet, they can break down and again be portals of entry for bacteria. So those are some of the things we're looking for. You can have a conversation with us about ask your doctor next time they do it, what are they looking for? And see if maybe there's some other things that they're looking for that we haven't mentioned.
Sometimes they're testing with a little fiber to see if you have some of this nerve damage in your feet. So if you have diabetes, just take your shoes and socks off next time you go to your doctor and talk to your doctor about having a foot exam.
Yeah, we haven't done it as much in the past, but we're really emphasizing it now in the training of new physicians so that they can be comprehensively thinking about you and your health.
Well, thanks to all four of you for writing in today, and thanks to everyone for being with us today on Your Health. We've had a chance to talk a little bit about having a change in stools and something that's concerning you about your bowel movements.
Yeah, we've talked about how to really get started on an exercise regimen and the things that are important to starting and stopping.
We've talked a little bit about seasonal allergies.
And finally, never be embarrassed, really, to ask your doctor anything. And we hope that you will have those conversations with your doctor about everything.
So thank you for joining us today for Your Health. We hope we've addressed some issues and concerns that are important to you and your health. And we want you to share your questions and experiences for emailing us at yourhealth@unc.edu. And you can follow us on Twitter by going to twitter.com or searching for Your Health Radio.
And we'd like to thank the staff of WCHL, the UNC Department of Family Medicine, UNC Healthcare for their sponsorship, our producer Julie Steiner, and of course, our great guest today, Drs. John Bogus and John Soper. And we hope you'll join us next time on Your Health and enjoy their music as we will be transitioning out.
On behalf of the UNC Department of Family Medicine, I'm Dr. Christy Page.
And I'm Dr. Adam Goldstein.
And we'll look forward to talking with you again next week. Take care.
Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page has been brought to you by UNC Family Medicine for the Chapel Hill Carborough community. You can hear Your Health on Saturdays at 9 a.m., Sundays at 9 and 5, and Mondays at 6 and 10 p.m. You can also go to our website, 1360WCHL.com, and click on WCHL On Demand. Your Health with Dr. Adam Goldstein and Dr. Christy Page, a presentation of UNC Family Medicine and News Talk 1360 WCHL.